This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live at Cunningham's in Kearney. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. A festive crowd already here. The live Irish music going on in the background, and Damon O'Day joining us as well. UNK, O baseball, O coach.
Yes,
what's
sir.
Up, man?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good.
Now, remind me the rules again. We can talk the basketball tournament.
Oh, yeah. As long as I don't submit anything for financial purposes.
Help out the program, though.
It could.
Everybody on the team fill out a bracket. It could help out the program.
It could, but the NCAA frowns upon that. And, you know, we're just trying to stay in the good graces of the NCAA. So, no, but, you know, you know, our players, you know, they were talking about on the bus ride home on Sunday. They watch it. They see, you know. You just hope that they make good decisions and don't, you know.
So, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Also coming up. That's also coming up because he's reissued. He's made another application to the new commissioner.
You know, I think Pete Rose really got caught in a rock and a hard place when Bart Giamatti died unexpectedly. I think the fact that Bart Giamatti died unexpectedly really hurt Pete Rose, because then Faye Vincent took it as a life's mission to ruin him. And so there's a lot of different things. If you kind of – I'm a Pete Rose fan. I think the way he played the game and the way that he did things as a baseball player, there's no doubt in my mind he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. There's a lot worse people in the Hall of Fame than what Pete Rose did as far as betting on baseball and all those types of things, which I think you kind of got to get into your beliefs on far as is betting on baseball the end-all, be-all. And the problem with Pete is the problem with the Pete Rose cases and with all cases is the lie was bigger than the crime. You know, the cover-up, the slandering, the shady people that he started to get involved with during the entire process really, I think, hurt Pete Rose. But I believe he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I think that this has become a vendetta with Faye Vincent, and Selig didn't want to do anything to Faye Vincent and really thought it would be a slap in the face to the Giamatti family. And because it was very, if you don't remember, it was a very personal battle between Rose and Giamatti, and then Giamatti died, and Faye Vincent really took it upon him that Pete Rose, I mean, if you've ever read Faye Vincent, the vitriol with which Faye Vincent, the commissioner at the time, has for Pete Rose. If you read articles or books about it, I mean, there is just a hate for Pete Rose and what he did. So I think it's interesting that Manfred's going to come in and try to do it. I'm not a big fan of the new commissioner from a baseball standpoint. He needs to slow down a little bit. He's talking about taking out DHs and adding – slow down there a little bit. Their guy, you know, baseball is a pretty special game as it is, and don't be in such a hurry to listen to ESPN and everybody else who thinks it's dying.
But new guys make changes.
Yeah, you know what? That's fine to make some changes and do some things, but slow down, pull the reins a little bit, and let's quit trying to reinvent in my opinion, you know, the best game in the world, just because.
He's wearing his USA hat today, people.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, well, you know what? Just because Colin Cowherd and ESPN may not love baseball or the pace of baseball or things like that, I think the fact that people are still going to the games, and I think the fact that people still are watching him within markets and regionally, I think we need to quit the discussion that baseball's dead, that no one's playing it. But that is the talk. You hear Cowherd, you hear even Mike and Mike try to, hey, just because the NFL butters the bread of ESPN, and that's what we happen to have. I mean, obviously the radio station, everything. But I think that the new commissioner needs to slow down a little bit, take a deep breath, the pitch clock and everything else. And as a baseball guy, I always hate it when our umpires are like, let's go. I'm like, where are we going? Like, hey, man, like it's 71 degrees today. Slow down. Where do you want us to go? Like, I understand if it's 38 and the wind's blowing. Hey, we want to pick it up too. But we had that a situation this weekend like that where the umpire's like, let's go. Let's move it along. I'm like, where are we going? We're staying the night. You know, the game's at it. So I haven't figured out, you know, there was a great crowd. No one was hollering to hurry it up. So, but I think the whole pace of play thing within baseball is a moot point. And it's just the naysayers to talk about.
Doug and Daddy Show live at Cunningham's. Come on down and enjoy St. Patrick's Day. They've been open since 7 a.m. A few of the people have been here since 7:01, but it's a nice crowd getting ready for lunch, enjoying the NCAA tournament, filling out their brackets, enjoying the green specials, a special Irish menu that they've been having here, 11 different Irish items that are unique to Cunningham's this time of the year. As you may be able to hear in the background, live Irish music, drink specials going on here for St. Patrick's Day. We're here all week, here yesterday, throughout the NCAA tournament all week long here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our guests coming up, we're going to talk a lot of basketball today. Dirk Chatelain, not all basketball because he covers it all. He's had a really, in my opinion, really couple of good articles. I love the Mad Chatter on Omaha.com, so check that out. And he talks more than just about the NCAA tournament. He has a bit on Winnebago, where he followed them this weekend for the basketball tournament. He has a comment on Johanna Gaifan from Central Catholic and how he may have slipped through the hands at Nebraska during the transition. Just a few things we'll talk about there, and of course, basketball. Tyson Alger of the Oregonian covers the Oregon Ducks. Dana Altman, he's been under some fire out there for off-court things, which I will admit that I have not 100% read up on. I know what's going on. There were some assaults off by basketball players, and how you handle that. That is just, I can't understand how coaches can deal with that, something they didn't personally do, but yet everybody judges what they do on each circumstance differently. And then Matt Coatney is going to join us at the end of the show. The Nebraska women got the number 9 seed, and they will head out to South Carolina instead of Texas or instead of Arizona. I think it's a so-so draw. If you have to play a number 1, I suppose South Carolina is good. I'd rather you're not going to play Maryland, and you don't want to play Connecticut. So I think they're in an okay place. But 10, they could have been a 10, played Texas A&M. We'll get Coatney's thoughts on if Nebraska can win one and then see what happens. So they've got an opportunity. That's all coming up on the program today. So Dirk Chatelain will join us here momentarily as we get hooked up with him. Back to the Pete Rose deal. Colin Cowherd was going off on it this morning. And Colin is the guy that can just tries to get you fired up. And while I was listening this morning, I was getting a little fired up. And you can't, as a caller, really have a discussion with him because he cuts you off immediately. He tells you you're dumb and wrong. So oh, yeah. What's the point? But he was talking about what baseball has to gain if the new commissioner lets or reinstates Pete Rose. Well, is that what the world's about these days? He'll argue that in a month from now on a different topic, and you can throw this back in his face. Bottom line is, I just want to ask Colin Cowherd, I don't want to get an argument. I would truly like to get his opinion on, sometimes don't you just do the right thing?
Oh.
Just do the right thing.
Yeah.
Baseball's gain, yeah. I'm sure the fanfare would be for a week. It'd be the week that he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, it's not going to be a money windfall. It's too late. He's 73, as he said. It's too late for the people of his era to be whooping it up. I mean, they're coming in and, I mean, they're my age or older. So, but again, the point is, just if you believe that he should be in, just do the right thing.
Oh, like I said earlier, there's a lot worse people in the Hall of Fame, especially if you read the historic books of the stories of the Honus Wagners and the Ty Cobbs and the other individuals from colorful eras throughout baseball. You know, Ty Cobb would have just as soon shanked you than say hello to you type of thing. And so, you know, the whole does he deserve to be? I'm a big guy about, yeah, put him in there, because on the field, which matters the most, he was the best. He was the hits king. And fine, if you want to put an asterisk in there on his plaque that says yes and then was banned from baseball, but it's not a Hall of Fame without the best player in it.
Exactly.
It's just a collection of statues. So how can you say, oh, it's the Hall of Fame and he's not in it?
Doug and Daddy Show. We are live at Cunningham's NCAA Tournament Week. We're here every day this week, and of course, special today because it's St. Patrick's Day. Doug Duda, UNK baseball coach, Damon Day, my co-host. And let's head to Omaha where all the action is this weekend with the NCAA Tournament. And from the Omaha World Herald and Mad Chatter, it's Dirk O'Chatlin. Good morning, Dirk.
That's pretty clever. I've never heard that one. I'm doing well.
Well, we've got, I know we're going to run out of time, but I've got about five different topics, and I want to know from your era, because obviously you're younger than both Coach and I, does Pete Rose even resonate on your radar?
You know, not really. He was, I was born in 81, so I don't really remember Pete Rose. But I, you know, I'm with you guys. I think the time has been served, and you know, baseball has shamed him enough. So I would certainly endorse his induction into the Hall of Fame, and honestly, I think it'll probably happen here in the next 2 or 3 years.
Dirk Chatlin here with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Anything left on Pete Rose here?
I got my piece made on that one.
Dirk, and we're gonna be talking with Tyson Alger, the Oregonian, later on in the program. Dana Altman coming back, great story. It's going to be awesome. I think he'll have everybody in his house because who's going to root for Oklahoma State besides their fans? But for the guys that don't follow Dana Altman as closely as maybe the Omaha connections do, how is his? How, in your eyes, is his tenure going right now? We have the off-court situation. Their basketball team has had a pretty good season, yet they're an 8 seed. What do you think is the status of the Oregon basketball program and Coach Altman right now?
Well, I think it depends largely on what the administration thinks of how the, you know, the off-the-court stuff was handled last spring. You know, I don't think the book is completely closed on that yet. I mean, there appeared to be a failure of leadership from Dana Altman, and also, you know, the whole athletic department in handling, you know, a sexual assault case. And I don't know if that's something where, you know, rises to the status where it doesn't necessarily matter how good you are on the court because you handled, you know, you screwed up this thing off the court so badly. My sense is, you know, if there's a benefit of the doubt, Dana Altman will get it because he can really, really coach. I mean, he's just, if you watch around the country, if you watch enough college basketball, he's one of the 5 or 10 best guys, in my opinion, at just building a solid team that maximizes its talent. He runs good X's and O's. You know, generally guys are pretty disciplined. I mean, he's just a heck of a basketball coach. I think his legacy here in Nebraska is somewhat complicated because, you know, Creighton actually took a step forward after he left, and, you know, Creighton wasn't very happy with Dana and the program those last 3 or 4 years. But he's also the guy who's sort of the architect of modern-day Creighton basketball. So it's, you know, there's a lot of things going on with Dana, both in Omaha and in Oregon. But, you know, bottom line is that guy can really coach, and I would not want to face him in the NCAA tournament.
Before we jump into the rest of the regional, Dirk, I don't want to come all full circle here. I want to get your thoughts on Nebraska ball. With where we are right now and the supposed, and again, this is where there's true journalism and there's the blogs and then there's that talk radio, I guess, in between. Where do you think the program is right now? Is there strife with players? Will there be transfers? I'm not even talking about Pettaway declaring for the NBA draft, which I think now would be a mistake. Just your thoughts on what's going on behind the walls there in Lincoln.
Well, I certainly think that there will be some defection. You know, whether that's guys leaving on their own or Tim Miles asking them to leave, I'm not sure. I mean, I hate to speculate on individual names, but, you know, I think if you look down the roster at guys who haven't performed, scholarship guys who haven't performed, There's some of those guys that I don't think will be back next year. You know, one, I'd probably put the over under at 1.5. That'll give Tim Miles a little bit more wiggle room with scholarships. But, you know, at this point, guys, I almost don't think it's as simple as personnel. I think there's something, you know, mentally this program is not in a good place right now. And I don't think the leadership is very good. I still believe in Tim Miles and his vision, but this was not a good coaching job. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. He did not do a good job this year. He did not figure out a way, you know, for this team to perform even really at a competitive level. So they've got to figure some things out, both personnel-wise and also, you know, taking two steps back and figuring out what to do to sort of change the culture, you know, mentally, to bring guys back into a positive frame of mind. And I think a lot of that is leadership. You know, you mentioned Pettaway, and I was probably a little bit harder on Pettaway than some people this year, because I think, you know, he's the best player on the team and he bears a lot of responsibility. And I think he made a lot of bad decisions on the court. Now, there were some things going on in his life, and I understand that. But, you know, I think Tim Miles would be wise to sort of take the burden off of Taran Pettaway next year. You know, he needs to find a point guard who can handle the ball and give Pettaway a smaller role on this team. That doesn't mean Pettaway can't still average 18 points a game, but he can't just be the guy that has the ball in his hand 60% of the shot clock. You know, that's too much to put on him. So I think Tim Miles is really got a lot of things to think about this offseason.
Damon Day here, and as a guy that was really excited about the Nebraska basketball season after last season, was Tim Miles a stretch as a hire? I mean, now we're into it. They had the new facilities. They had the big – was it too big of a stretch to go to the mid-major level where he had some success but not quite the success that you might think? Was it a stretch for him to become a Big Ten coach?
No, I don't think so. I think he's very capable. If there's a question mark, it's his ability to recruit and handle the big time talent, the big time egos that you see at the Power Five level. I think, you know, there's so many things that Tim Miles does right. I think he's a phenomenal communicator. I think he's a good face of the program. I think he's fine from an X's and O's standpoint, but there is a step up when it comes to not only recruiting, and I think you can really dissect some of his high school recruiting at this point. You know, they've missed on a lot of guys the last 3 years in recruiting high school kids. The transfers have been okay, but the high school kids have really not panned out. And then, you know, coaching the big time players. You know, when you've got to deal with a big ego or two, how do you handle that? Tim Miles did not have a lot of experience with that in the way that, for instance, a Power Five conference assistant coach who would have got the job, who would have had more experience with that. So, you know, when you come across a guy like Taran Pettaway, who's clearly a big time talent, and you've got to figure out a way to sort of, bring out the best in him, I think that's a challenge sometimes for coaches who have come from levels where they haven't had those types of talents.
Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald, joining us here on the Doug and Danny Show, live at Cunningham's. Dirk, you know what it's like St. Patrick's Day at a establishment with alcoholic beverages. Would you ever hand the microphone over to any of the patrons here? What do you think?
Oh, you know what? What do you have to lose, right? We shouldn't take ourselves too seriously. Why not?
All right, now let's get your thoughts on what's going to go on in Omaha this weekend. We touched a little bit on what Oregon has. Kansas, Wichita State is what everybody wants to see. The backstory is if Tom Crean doesn't get out of Omaha with two wins, it might be it at Indiana. Everybody's in love with Wisconsin. I just like to see a team called the Chanticleers there. Your thoughts on what we're going to see Sunday and Friday and Sunday?
Well, it is a phenomenal bracket or mini bracket. You know, it's these are just two, two outstanding four-team tournaments. Wisconsin and I think Oregon and Oregon State, or I'm sorry, Oregon and Oklahoma State. I think Oregon wins that game pretty easily, but I'm really interested to see the Oregon-Wisconsin game on Sunday because those two played last year in the second round, and Oregon gave Wisconsin all they could handle, and Oregon's playing really well. And again, I think Dana Altman can really coach. So that Wisconsin-Oregon matchup would be fascinating. And then the Kansas-Wichita State thing is just almost too good to be true. I mean, it probably doesn't resonate quite as much, with Nebraskans as it does with Kansans, obviously. But I think people can understand what that means to Wichita State to finally get that shot after about 22 years of wishing they could play the Jayhawks. And I think Kansas is pretty vulnerable right now. They're not playing very well. They've got some NCAA uncertainty with Cliff Alexander. They're just, I think they kind of they put everything they had into that Big 12 championship, and I'm not sure how much they've got left for an NCAA tournament run. So I think Wichita State really has a chance to get them on Sunday.
Dirk Chatlin with us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show live from Cunningham's. Come on down and enjoy St. Patrick's Day festivities. Obviously, you can only bring eight teams to Omaha. Would have been cool to see some new faces. It would have been neat to have the Northern Iowa, Wyoming bracket. Would have been neat to have Notre Dame, Butler, Texas all there. But I think we'll have fun this weekend. I want to get a quick thought on the football as well, Dirk, because you touched on Johanna Gaifon in one of your articles over the weekend. I'm guessing that you never got a chance to see him play any high school football, and you got a chance to see what we kind of already knew out in this part of the state.
I saw high school film of him on the football field, and I think when you see enough high school film, it's hard to sort of be impressed because all those Division I guys look pretty good on their high school films, but when you see a guy in person, especially when it's his second sport like that, you see a guy in person who just is competing his tail off. I was just blown away. I'm sitting there with Andy Markowski the other day, at the Pinnacle Bank Arena, and Markowski was just as impressed as I was. I mean, just the footwork, his big hands, his motor. Grand Island Central Catholic is behind that whole game, and he never takes a playoff, never takes a possession off. Those Winnebago guys are all about, 6'5", 180 pounds, and, Johanna's trying to keep up with them, and he's just played with a ton of heart. And I think that's the type of guy that Nebraska football needs. That's the type of guy that you've got to find a way to get him a scholarship. Even if you're a little overloaded at a position, I really would hope that when Mike Riley looks at the next 5 years, he recognizes that sometimes you got to make an exception to your recruiting plan, to fit a guy like that in, especially when he's just 90 miles down the road.
Yeah, how would you like to, when he got on the fast break, take a charge from him when he's going coast to coast?
Well, I can't imagine too many guys were in that position this year, but he played well enough Friday that I almost regret that was his last competitive basketball game, because he really left it all on the floor.
What do we need to know, even after reading your article on Winnebago? What do we need to know about everything about that story? You only have so much that you can write. What do we still need to know? Because everybody fell in love with that team here the last week.
Well, I think there's kind of two ways to look at it. One is the impact that they may have on their community. That part is still sort of a question. I mean, the community was obviously really behind them. What kind of effect will that have on the reservation and on Winnebago and Winnebago High School? I mean, is that the type of thing that can sort of turn the tide in a community that, that it's had a lot of hard times. That part is still, you know, still out there, I think. The part that's not out there is, you know, I think everybody who watched that team was just blown away by how well they played and how well they executed and how all five guys on the floor, you know, almost fit their position perfectly. It was sort of a storybook team. I mean, they not only played well, but what I was impressed with is how they handled the expectation and the burden. I mean, you know, guys, I played high school sports. I cracked in my golf meets when the pressure got heavy. I saw guys do it on the basketball court, on the football field. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of poise to play your best in your sport when it matters the most. And that's what those guys did. And to have your whole town down there and to know the history of Winnebago and know how much everybody is sort of living vicariously through you and to still come out and play as well as they did, I mean, that just... You almost can't write the script better than that. It was that was probably the most impressive thing. It's just how well they played.
Any comment on Nebraska spring practice so far? Anything that's worth mentioning?
You know, I think I'm just impressed with the openness of the coaching staff to let people in on the process, to tell people, you know, what they know and what they don't know. I think it's important to share with the public that, hey, this is not going to be easy. This is not necessarily going to be, you know, a quick process. And you know, we've got to learn this personnel. We've got to learn who's in the program. And I think you there's some humility in that. So I appreciate that part of it. And that starts with Mike Riley that, hey, you know, we've got a long way to go before we can figure out how to make this team win football games.
Well, we did it. We covered just about every topic on the sheet here. So, Dirk, appreciate the extended stay. And you enjoy your St. Patrick's Day, Mr. O'Chatlin, okay?
Hey, let me give a shout-out to your UNK national champion wrestlers, too. You know, Romero Cotton, how about two in a row? That's pretty good. And, you know, UNK wrestling is rolling along about as good as can be.
We love Coach Bauer and the gang. Can't just one slot behind the national team championship. Yeah, like you said, a couple individuals. So we'll take that. Hey, Dirk, really appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
Take care, guys.
That's Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald, the bottom line. You can catch him with Michael Severe in the afternoons every week as well. Joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from Cunningham's. It's St. Patrick's Day. They do it like no other. And when we talk Huskers, we talk T&L Irrigation on days like we've had here lately. You've been in the machinery shed, you've been outside, you've been getting everything ready to go. Don't forget about your pivot irrigation system. Find out why so many growers are moving to T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems. Superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design. Just a few of the reasons why you should have a T&L system in your field. Contact your local T&L dealer or find out more online at TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation like no other. We head out to Oregon, and we will be catching up with Tyson Alger of the Oregonian right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Back in time, a caveman. His name was Ugg. Got tired of gathering nuts and berries. Decided that meat was a neat treat.
Mine too.
Ugg was the first human carnivore. Ugg inspired others to try meat. They liked it too. Dog now serves as the spokes caveman for Carnivore's Meat Supply. Dozens of cuts of fresh beef, pork, chicken, and fish. Early carnivores used to have to knock on cave doors to find meat. All you need to do is head to Carnivore's Meat Supply. West off 281 on Old Potash Highway.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see partly sunny skies across the area through the day today with a high of around 51. Winds out the northeast, meanwhile, stay gusting at 15 to 25. Now with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll head down to 31. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 36.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Going to have another busy show tomorrow. We'll talk with Michigan's head baseball coach as they get ready to open up conference play in Lincoln. The Huskers are home today against the Sycamores of Indiana State.
Larry Damon. Bird, Larry Legend.
Yeah, but he didn't play baseball.
No.
Now,
no.
When it comes to allegiances here, it's Notre Dame 1, Indiana 2, and then it doesn't matter about anybody else. Indiana State, Akron. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter.
The zip,
no.
It's Notre Dame clearly won.
Yes.
And then Indiana
of
the time.
I grew up closer to South Bend. So Notre Dame has always been kind of the school that, you know, the best way I always play it is the same thing as for the majority of people for Nebraska. You know, I just lived within a half-hour radius of Notre Dame. And so, yes, I did in my unofficial bracket. Yes. I did pick the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame to win the national championship, I think.
That would be so awesome. That would be fun.
It would come out of the Kentucky bracket. It would be like the good versus evil, like the do-gooders of Notre Dame defeating the evil empire of Kentucky.
Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topic. We got some NCAA questions here for you this week. Yesterday we said, outside of Kentucky, which number one seed has the best chance of winning the national tournament? 60% said Wisconsin. 40% said Duke. Nobody took Villanova. I see by your bracket you would probably be taking Duke.
Yes, I have Notre Dame defeating Duke in the national championship game.
All right, well, and here we can talk Notre Dame again, because today, which number one seed outside of Connecticut has the best chance of winning the women's national tournament? Notre Dame, Maryland, or South Carolina? And your vote is?
Notre Dame.
Duh, vote now.
Buffett McGraw does a phenomenal job with the female basketball program at Notre Dame.
She is awesome. Vote now on our Midtown Mart cooler question. You can do it anytime. New questions daily, and we can get them there for you 24-7 over the weekend as well at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Our poll question today, outside of Connecticut, which number one women's seed has the best chance of winning the national tournament? Nebraska's in with South Carolina. Would have to play them in the second round. We'll talk with the voice of the Huskers, Matt Coatney, coming up later on in the program today. We're here at Cunningham's. Don't forget Comedy Night Thursday. Going to give you a chance to win tickets with our Cunningham's Comedy Contest, but it's all about St. Patrick's Day and the NCAA basketball tournament all week long. So let's get things ready here with Tyson Alger. He joins us here from the Oregonian. Tyson, do you get to personally make the trip to Omaha? And welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'll be on a plane first thing tomorrow morning on my way over.
Well, we've been talking a little bit. Obviously, the story is Dana Altman coming home, so that's the Nebraska angle. So I want to start there with you. The perception and the feeling on Coach Dana Altman right now is what?
It's changed kind of drastically from the start of the year, because at the start of the year, this team wasn't supposed to be good. Altman was kind of under fire a bit after a spring that saw three players expelled, and it is a pretty down start for the program, but they've kind of taken a roster that's kind of been pieced together, and they were projected to finish eighth in the Pac-12, and all of a sudden they win 11 of 12 to end the year in Pac-12 play, finish second in the tournament. So there's a lot of momentum coming behind them as they come into the NCAA tournament.
Do they like where they are at? And by that, I mean not only being an 8 seed, that 8-9 really stinks because you got to beat number 1 to get out of the first weekend, plus coming to Omaha. What was the vibe after they saw where they're going and who they're playing?
I think Dana liked coming to Omaha. He said he had about 60 text requests already for tickets. But, I don't think they were going to say anything negative about the seeding. But, I mean, just logically, it's a terrible seeding. You're automatically matched up against the Wisconsin Buzzsaw, whoever wins this game. And, you could even look at like a team like UCLA, who got that 11 seed. I think Oregon would have probably even preferred that, because, you got a tougher first game probably, but then it's a much easier chance of getting out of that, second game of the tournament there too. So, it's kind of been interesting to kind of gauge the reactions of some like Oregon fans, because, a lot of people didn't even think they were going to get here. So there's a little bit of that, but then they look at like kind of the season and the record that they've had and they go, man, we kind of got hosed a little bit here.
Dana Altman, obviously, like you said, under fire for some off-the-field incidences that he had, there's the perception that he handled poorly in the spring. Obviously, with Oregon and their support from Nike and just their overall support for athletics in general, is the Oregon fan base satisfied with Altman, or are they expecting more from him than just tournament runs? Are they expecting to be in the top of the Pac-12? Competing with the Arizonas of the world for a Pac-12 championship?
I think it's slowly getting to that point, because, this is their third straight NCAA tournament appearance. I think a lot of people, it was hard to tell what exactly they expected this year, because they had such a down roster. But then again, Altman, some would say kind of did that to himself a bit with just some of the handling of there. So, yeah, I think on the court, maybe performance was a little bit of a pass this year. I think they still would like to see, it's Oregon coming off of that football season. They're expecting, a successful team. And I think expectations are going to be very high next year too. And they're losing Joseph Young, but they're returning a really strong core and got a pretty good recruiting class. So, I'd say this year is maybe a little bit of a wash, but that's just because of other circumstances.
Talking with Tyson Alger here from the Oregonian on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We're live at Cunningham's all week long for the NCAA tournament and celebrating St. Patrick's Day today, which is perfect for the green of the Oregon Ducks that'll be coming out this week. I think Colin Cowherd would love the Oregon Ducks, not only because that's his backyard, but because of the style of basketball they play, getting 76 a game, three guys in double figures, led by Joseph Young. What is it that is the best part about this team? What is it that's going to make this team win on Friday and have a chance on Sunday?
They get into little 3-4 minute spurts where not only is Young knocking down shots, and granted these spurts usually start with him, but then it just seems like everyone gets involved. You get Elgin Cook, who's a pretty good power forward. He'll start kind of testing out his mid-range shot. This is freshman Dylan Brooks. That, he's a completely momentum-based player. So they'll get in these, 2-3 minute long stretches where they can put up 15 points or so in those. And it just seems like everything's going in their favor. If they can get a couple of those, which are usually sparked by Young, and if they can play confident defense, that's been their biggest problem all year, is they just have a hard time I feel like for the first couple months they had a hard time buying in on defense, and now I think they've bought in, but it's just still not necessarily a complete great execution with it. So if they can keep, you know, putting the hoop in the bucket and you know, just being average on defense, you know, that I think that's their best chance.
If they're going to get off to a slow start, what's their Achilles heel? What is it that causes them to get off to slow starts? What's Oklahoma State, do you feel like Oklahoma State has to do to stop Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, if Oregon's such a momentum-based team, whereas like a couple guys, like I think Brooks is Oregon's big X factor. I mean, Young's going to get his points, but you know, Brooks is a player where, you know, if he doesn't get the ball right away, and he doesn't create his shot all that well. So if they can guard him and kind of keep him kind of in the shadows for a little bit, you know, he's their second best player when they're on. So if they can kind of limit them, but you know, Oregon's also, granted, I know Oklahoma State's not the biggest team either, but Oregon just gets beat up in the paint and on the boards just because of their size. Their biggest guy is 6'9", and after that it drops, you know, dramatically. So, you know, if the best way to beat Oregon is to kind of out-muscle and outsize them. You know, if you can keep them from, you know, running, you know, that's the best way to beat the Ducks.
Another minute here with Tyson Alger from the Oregonian. Is this a Cinderella team? Can they go a long way, or is that just not the feeling at all that you're getting?
I get the feeling that the Oklahoma State game is very winnable. I don't think either of these two teams are going to beat Wisconsin. I just think that's an awfully tough matchup. You know, I will say, I'll backtrack a little bit there. Like the two, Oregon's played three games against Arizona, which is the only team they've played that's at Wisconsin's caliber, and they've played them really tough for, I would say, three out of the six halves in those games. So, you know, they can play streaky with some of those teams. It's just a matter if they can play a whole game, and we haven't seen that yet. So, I mean, I would be very, very pessimistic about their chances going past the Oklahoma State games. But, I mean, I guess that's why they play the games. That's why this March Madness is so fun, though.
Now, Tyson, though, we can't just talk all basketball here. We had our boy Scott Frost grow up right down the road from me. How long is he going to stick it out there in Oregon?
we all were on the Scott Frost watch the whole offseason. You know, his name's coming up, you know, with the Nebraska stuff. We heard some other things. But, you know, I think this is going to be the big year for him. Just to see what he does when he has a system that's not led by Marcus Mariota. You know, I think it's kind of a proving year for him to say, you know, it wasn't necessarily just the player that made this offense stick. You know, I can really, really run this thing. And, you know, if that works, I mean, he's an awfully attractive candidate. He's young. He's got a pretty storied former playing career. He's, you know, led the Ducks. He's led the Ducks to an offense has been one of the best in the country over the last couple of years. So I wouldn't expect him sticking around a whole lot longer if things keep going right.
Okay, even to change gears even more on you, diehard baseball fan, down to TD Ameritrade, Coach Horton has not gotten the Oregon Ducks over the hump yet. I mean, it's been weird how you guys have kind of not been able to do it with all the resources. Is it are the baseball fans in Oregon getting antsy, or are they all pretty satisfied since the program was just reborn a couple years ago?
I think it's a mixture of that. I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if you look at it, you know, six, seven years into a program, and you've been to the super regionals, you've been to the regionals almost every year. I mean, that's pretty incredible for a new program. But then again, you know, they've had that success from the start. You have a coach who's been there, who you brought to Oregon to do those sort of things. I think they're about ready to get to Omaha. And, at the start of the year, it looked like the Ducks had a roster that could possibly do that. Granted, they've hit a really rough patch the last 2 weeks or so. They jumped up to number 8 in the Baseball America rankings and then lost 4 straight games. So, we'll see how that goes. But, I know nobody puts more pressure on himself than Coach Horton to get to Omaha. So it should be a fun year.
Well, it's a It's a quirky little connection that Nebraska and Oregon now have. Obviously, the football series will get ramped up here in a couple of seasons, but with the baseball, with Frost, now with Dana Altman, obviously, there's always some storylines. And Tyson, we appreciate you joining us for the first time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and hopefully we can do it again. We'll probably run into you in Omaha.
Yeah, definitely, guys. Have a fun week.
Appreciate it. Tyson Alger from the Oregonian joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I think if Oregon made it to the College World Series, they would be that it team. You know, kind of how the TCUs, you know, there's always that Oregon.
Because they'd be able to bring 27 uniforms and 12 different hats.
But, I mean, that to me, there's an affinity for Oregon in this area, I think, because of the Scott. I mean, there just seems to be a genuine. But, yes, I think the fact that they do it would bring their 30 combinations of uniforms. And how many different Oregon hats can you buy at the bootleg shops? I mean, that would be my thing. If Oregon did make it to the College World Series, what would be the one hat sold at the officials team store? How would they choose what that?
Oh, there's multi.
Yeah.
You get five or six, no doubt about it. You just have to look good. We've got more of the Doug and Daddy Show coming up here live from Cunningham's. Don't forget, don't run out of time. Get signed up for the Doug and Daddy Show Bud Light Bracket Challenge brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. First prize, a 49-inch LG LED television from Russell's Appliance and Electronics. And you can win one of nearly 30 gift cards from Cunningham's, ranging from $15 all the way up to a $100 gift card. And you don't even have to win it to get that, baby. We've got other gifts and prizes as well. Fill out your brackets, and Cunningham's will have all the games beginning with the first round tonight. And again, those play-in games, you don't have to pick the winner of the play-in game. Just click on it. But go to ESPNSuperstation.com and fill out your Doug and Daddy Bud Light Bracket Challenge brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Coming up, Matt Coatney is going to join us to talk about the women's bracket and what Nebraska's chances are and expectations. Damon, they're in the same spot as Oregon is. They're in an 8-9 game. Okay, should be very competitive. And then you got a day to get ready for the best team you're going to play all year, and that's where the women are setting.
You know, but at least you get to do it early. I mean, I know that you would rather have a week, you know, to do it, but, you know, you're in it. You're going to have to beat them at some point. And so I think they got the better of all the one seeds. I mean, I think the fact that they had already seen Maryland play, you don't want UConn. I think that they got, to me, South Carolina's kind of the upstart. They're not a blue blood of women's college basketball. This is kind of their first year really kind of arriving. And so they're the ones that are going to have a lot of pressure on them because they're not used to being the one seed. And so I think that actually Nebraska has a pretty good of all the chances of being an 8-9 if they can get by that first game. I think that's who you would want to play as South Carolina in that context because they haven't been here before. This isn't old hat with them like it is for some of the other programs of it. So I think that Nebraska, you know, if you're Nebraska – and you got to be in the 8-9 game, and you got to take on any of the number ones. I think they got the good one with South Carolina.
This comes from John and Carney. He says, hey, I can't put down Coach Day, but I think we need to get him a fund together to get him some counseling for liking the Irish. Just saying. On St. Patrick's Day, he's banging you about the Irish. Oh, and if there's any fundraising, it won't be going to counseling, not at UNK. Come on, people.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the thought and the offer, but at least I would like to say that I am not a delusional Notre Dame fan. I am at least, you know, steadfast on my support for them and enjoy watching them, but I do not think it interferes with any other aspects of my life, so... But I have to say that I am now, I didn't marry into being a Husker fan. I know that people don't think that, but I do, you know, enjoy watching the Husker games with friends and other people. And I was really pumped I'll be honest with you, I was jacked for Nebraska's basketball season. I really was. I was excited, and I thought that this was going to be a good year for them and that good things were going to happen. And then when it just went south in a hurry. I mean, I went to 3 or 4 games early. You know, and then, yeah, it just didn't. And then it was just bad, like bad basketball to watch.
You don't have to pound that into my skull. We do need to take a break. Matt Coatney joins us when we come back.
Catch all the basketball action at Jersey Sports Bar and Grill. It's basketball madness at its best right now, Jersey style. Come in, catch the games live from every angle with TVs everywhere. Grab lunch and dinner with a cold beer or order your favorite appetizer or wings. It's the next best thing to being courtside, so call your buddies and meet them at Jersey's, where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
Go on a Jurassic Quest, the largest and most realistic dinosaur event in North America. Experience the sights and sounds of living, breathing, even walking dinosaurs. Be awestruck by over 50 life-size dinosaurs. Witness the massive, ferocious animatronic T-Rex and the 40-foot Apatosaurus. Walk among Velociraptors, the huge Utah Raptors, and Chiconodosaurus. This event has more than doubled in size. With more huge dinosaurs and brand new activities, come see the biggest T-Rex ever found on the planet. Then see a feathered giant 20 feet tall standing behind you with 18-inch blades for claws. There are tons of brand new activities like bungee pole, dino science stations, scooters, inflatables, and more. Ride on a 15-foot T-Rex. Uncover gigantic T-Rex and Triceratops fossils. But be careful, there are roaring dinosaurs walking around. Jurassic Quest is where the big dinosaurs live. For the first time ever, at Pinnacle Bank Expo Center, Fauner Park, Grand Island, this Friday through Sunday. Get ticket info at JurassicQuest.com.
Life doesn't stop when you've got a big event like graduation. It just makes you busier. Copycat Printing in Kearney understands. Their talented design staff will create a unique, one-of-a-kind invite just for you. They'll design it, create it, and deliver your invitations. So relax. Copycat Printing in Kearney will make your invitation a priority, so you don't have to. Visit KearneyCopycat.com and like Copycat Printing on Facebook for great printing discounts.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
Rocky.com.
The 30th annual Vital Signs Health Fair is March 28th and 29th at the Adams County Fairgrounds. Register now at marylanning.org. On the top row, find the red star in the words Health Fair. Click there and complete the registration form. For those without computer access, contact Butler Vollen Funeral Home for registration help, weekdays 1 to 5 p.m. Either way, your packet will be waiting for you when you arrive at the health fair. Pre-registration is open now through 5 p.m. March 25th at marylanning.org or with help from Butler Vollen.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling on here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth live at Cunningham's for the NCAA tournament. Watch all the men's and women's games here. And, of course, enjoy great St. Patrick's Day specials with 11 different Irish item menus just for St. Patrick's Day. Live Irish music and drink specials as well today here at Cunningham's. Doug Duda, Loper baseball coach Damon Day. Yes, sir.
May I just say I am stunned at the crowd.
They came to see you, brother.
No,
security has kept them back.
No, I am stunned to see this many people on a Tuesday afternoon.
It's just a half a nice day. It's just a half of a nice day. That's good enough to get out.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
I guess I never really realized that St. Patrick's Day was that big of a holiday.
Well, that's why we have to get Matt O'Cotney on before noon, because we know he's got some celebrating to do today. Matt, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, half of a nice day is any day that ends in the letter Y, and there's always a reason to celebrate. So, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to get to today. Thanks for having me on.
Are you a St. Patrick's guy?
I'm a celebrating kind of guy. I'm one of the few people in my office that actually wore green today. I think that tradition is kind of dying a little bit the last couple of years. It's like I thought you were required to wear green.
Yeah, well, it hasn't died here in Kearney. It looks like an Oregon Duck Convention, I'll tell you that. There's no doubt about it. There won't be a lot of green in the stands for Nebraska's basketball weekend as they go down to Columbia, South Carolina. And, Matt, let's just start there. I had been talking over the last couple of weeks when we were talking Husker women's basketball, and since they haven't played in a couple of weeks, everybody's just kind of forgotten about them a little bit. But I was praying for that 10 line. Because what good does it do you to be a 9? Let's face it, if you're not a 1 or 2 or playing at home, what's it matter? Thoughts on being a 9 versus a 10 on how that could have affected Nebraska's draw?
Well, I think it showed a lot of respect for the Big Ten. I really thought Nebraska was going to be a 10. But keep in mind, they might have been a 10. The NCAA takes a look at your seed, and they'll move you up one spot or down one spot, trying to balance out the bracket. And, you know, really what Nebraska was trying to do was find a very winnable first game, which has happened here. Syracuse, as an 8 seed, very similar to Nebraska. They suffered a very major injury not too long ago. Their third leading scorer, Diamond Henderson, ACL right before the ACC tournament. Fifth seed Syracuse got upset in the first round of the ACC tournament by number 13 Wake Forest. So that's a Syracuse team that is certainly dealing with an injury right now. So I think it's a very winnable first game. I think this is the UConn Invitational, though. Everybody is just trying to fight to figure out who finishes second behind UConn. So no matter what your seed is, you know, you've got to feel pretty comfortable with getting a first-round game that you can win and then see what happens. And then, you know, Syracuse held with South Carolina in a non-conference game earlier this year within five. So if the Huskers make it to the second round, of all the number one seeds, that would be the one you'd want to play.
Yeah, that was my next question, Matt. I mean, you obviously don't want to play Connecticut. You're not going to play Maryland because of the conference a tie. At least you shouldn't. So that leaves you South Carolina and Notre Dame. And Damon Day has already told me that both Notre Dame men and women have an excellent chance of being in the Final Four.
I think Notre Dame is probably the second-best team in the country right now. Jewel Loy can dominate a game by herself, and Muffet McGraw has got a very deep bench. But, no, UConn is heads and shoulders above everybody else. They demonstrated that when they knocked off South Carolina pretty handily back in February when South Carolina was undefeated and the number one team in the country. South Carolina, a couple of chinks in the armor. They lost to UConn. They also lost to Kentucky pretty late. Not trying to take anything away from South Carolina because they deserve the number one seed. But if Nebraska was going to advance to the second round and had to play one of the four number one seeds, I think this is clearly the number one seed they choose.
Damon Day here, and obviously, like you said, the UConn Invitational. Is UConn's dominance good for women's college basketball, or is it starting to play out to where it's a detriment because no one pays attention to it because you can't beat UConn?
I think it was good about 5 years ago. Now I think people are kind of getting a little tired of it. What I've said, and I'll maintain this, and I'll either be really wrong or people can look back and not remember what I said, was the move to the American Athletic Conference when UConn did not have a chair, when all the musical chairs of all the major conference realignment happened, eventually is going to make that program like Louisiana Tech, Stephen F. Austin, and some others that used to be great powers in women's basketball. There's no TV money flowing into Connecticut right now, and as soon as Gino Auriemma leaves, look for that program to just sink. It might happen incrementally, but you know, there was a time that I couldn't imagine Louisiana Tech not being dominant in women's basketball, and now no one even knows who they are. So is it good for women's basketball? I'm going to say it was until about 5 years ago, and now I think it's time for teams to catch up to that level.
Matt, interesting comment from Coach Yori last night. It's one of those things we all thought, but she actually did say, and coaches don't always go that way, she kind of commented that she's so proud of her team because they avoided a train wreck after Rachel Terrio went down despite having these four great seniors. And it was almost like in her voice a couple of times that she got caught up in kind of feeling bad for what could have been, and then Terrio goes down. Did you ever sense that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you weren't on the plane I was on heading to New Jersey the day after Rachel got hurt. Not only did Terrio get hurt, and keep in mind, that's an All-American point guard that the whole offense revolved around, but Nebraska was faced to go into Rutgers, which is one of the top defensive teams in the country every year. And then for the first time in my memory, the Huskers skate out for two consecutive conference games without coming back, going to Maryland, who's now a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, and then coming home to face Iowa. They wouldn't have had any time to practice, and they didn't. So, you know, not only do you lose your best player and who your offense is all geared around and one of your top communicators on defense, you've got to play three of the top teams in the country in less than a week. It was extraordinarily daunting for the team. They lost three in a row. What she's saying is that could have turned into something terrible they righted the ship. They got some big wins late in the season. The win over Minnesota, I cannot tell you how huge that was. And, I think Connie, like you said, she came right out and said that could have been a big train wreck. And, I don't want to compare teams, but, you know, poor Tim Miles had an NCAA team last year and then didn't win a game this year after February. Well, Connie Yori was looking at, you know, her best player being out from the middle of February on, or from the start of February on. So, yeah, it could have been a big train wreck, and, yeah, that's exactly what she was talking about.
Big picture and a couple more questions here from Matt Coatney. And I guess the ironic thing is it would seem that not a lot of people this year would be looking at Nebraska's women to do anything. Nebraska has never, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, they've never overachieved, I guess, in the NCAA tournament. I think, to be honest, you'd have to say they have underachieved a couple of times when they got that national seed that could get them to an Elite Eight. They stumbled. They were in the wrong spot when Kentucky made the transition from good team to great team, and then obviously we know what happened last year against BYU. Is there a reason that the women have played so well but haven't had success in the NCAA tournament?
I'm going to debate you on that one, because when Kelsey Griffin was a sophomore, they were a heavy underdog. Kevin McGuff and the Xavier Musketeers in College Park, Maryland, when they had Amber Harris, who was a first-round WNBA pick, and Nebraska won that game easily and almost knocked off Maryland, who was a Final Four team the year before that. And then, yep, of course, just 2 years ago, Nebraska, heavy underdog, on the home floor of the SEC champion Texas A&M Aggies, who had just won the national title the year before, and then had a huge win to advance to the Sweet 16, where they almost knocked off Duke in Duke's backyard on the East Coast. So, certainly last year the loss to BYU was an upset, I would say. But don't forget they had Jennifer Hansen, who was 6'7", and also knocked the Nebraska volleyball team out of the NCAA tournament this year. So very much a one-star thing. But I think that seeing they underperformed, you know, they made the Sweet 16 the year they won the Big 12 regular season title going undefeated, and then ran into a Kentucky team that, you know, certainly was the only team to cause Nebraska problems with the defense they had. So I think the two games I'll point to, the Kentucky game and the Sweet 16 in 2010, the great defense against the freshman point guard then of Lindsey Moore, and then just the dominating presence of Jennifer Hansen last year for BYU are the two things that knocked Nebraska out. But I don't think you can look at the win over Texas A&M on their home floor when Nebraska was a heavy underdog against the SEC tournament champions 2 years ago, and you got to put it some kind of perspective and say that was a huge upset for Nebraska in a huge way.
Yeah, you're correct on all avenues there, Matt. I just wish we had never had to tangle with this Hansen girl at Nebraska,
yeah,
at all.
She could have
done something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt, you touched on it a little bit, but I know you've already done a lot of research. So what's it going to take to get past Syracuse in the first round?
Well, they're a tough defensive team. You know, Nebraska has problems scoring right now, and this is a Syracuse team that holds their opponents under 60 points a game. But the good news is Nebraska's offense has shown since Terrio has been gone that they're really effective against teams that play zone, not so effective against teams that play man defense. Falls right in the hands of what Syracuse is doing. They are mainly a zone defense. They like to press and then fall back into a zone almost exactly the way Illinois has played this year. Nebraska easily handled Illinois three times. By the way, Illinois beat Kentucky this year. I think that the number one thing for Nebraska is they've got to contain Alexis Peterson. She is the number one player for Syracuse, second team All-ACC, a great defender. Turnovers are going to be a big problem. If Nebraska turns it over left and right, they're not going to win the game. But I think they've got to close out on outside shooters. This is a Syracuse team that missed their first 16 threes in the game against Wake Forest when they got knocked out of the ACC tournament. If Nebraska could close out on outside shooters, if they aren't bothered by the pressure and they can run their zone offense, I really, really like Nebraska's chances in this game.
Tomorrow, Brendan Van Langen's going to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to give us an overview. So, either A, you can throw a question that I need to ask, or B, I always tell people this, Matt, The ESPN national bracket pays the same grand prize to the women's champ as the men's champ, and there's like 1/20th of the entries. So which Big Ten team outside of Maryland is playing well, got the good draw, might be able to move along a little bit farther than their seed says?
Well, absolutely, Ohio State. I think Ohio State is a team that feels a little bit disrespected. They never got ranked this year. You know, they did not get Shayla Cooper into their lineup till the semester after she transferred. They've got the nation's leading scorer, and I think the most dynamic offensive player in the country, Kelsey Mitchell. Huskers could not check her. Ohio State really almost knocked off Maryland in the Big Ten tournament championship. Kevin McGuff is a veteran coach. They are playing extraordinarily well right now. You do not want to see Ohio State in the NCAA tournament. I think Ohio State has a legitimate chance. I think if they get to the Elite Eight, that would be a bit of an upset. But certainly, I think they can make the Sweet 16 team. And for Brenda coming on there, you can ask her just about anything in the world. You might ask her what she thinks about Wichita State's chances. She had the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Final between my alma mater, Missouri State, and Wichita State on Sunday. And I think Wichita State got a little underseeded. I think they got a double-digit seed. And they've got Alex Harden, who's, I think, one of the best mid-major players in the country. If she was playing at a Maryland or a UConn, everybody would know who she was. So you might ask Brenda what she thinks about Wichita State chances, since she just saw them on Sunday.
All right. Sounds good, Matthew. Safe travels. Always appreciate the passion. And you and Jeffrey, keep up the good work as we'll be carrying the games, hopefully multiple games, from the NCAA tournament.
I appreciate it. You guys always do a great job. Wonderful affiliate. Love being on your show. And thanks a lot for having me on.
Take care, bud. Matt Cotney, voice of the Nebraska women, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brenda will be among our guests tomorrow as we continue to fill things out. Loper Link, we're going to be talking about a lot of things when we're back here at Cunningham's. And you ever lose your train of thought?
No.
There's a few reasons why today I've lost my train of thought sitting here at Cunningham, seeing all the green, all the folks, all the food, all the beverages.
I'm stunned at the beverages.
I'm a little worried about
it. It's 11 on a Tuesday.
There was a lot of car bombs on that one. So after the show, me and you,
car bomb, we're
car bombing it up.
Car bombs?
Little banger mash. Yeah, yeah. See, that's what happens when you have kids.
What's the definition of a car bomb?
Car bomb is a Guinness and Bailey's, and I think a little Irish whiskey on top of it. Drop it, bang it, tastes like chocolate milk.
I've never heard that. I've heard of different types of shots like that, but
you
I've never heard.
Practice today?
Well, yes. Yeah.
Dang it.
yeah. No. I've never heard of the car bomb. I've heard of, like, the Boilermaker.
Ooh.
You know, those type, but I've never heard of the car bomb before. That's a new one for me.
Well, anytime you need small culture, I'll help you. If you need major culture, they can take care of it here at Cunningham's, where it's time for our Cunningham's Comedy Contest. Our winner will be drawn out tomorrow afternoon, receiving two tickets to the early show, which starts at 7:30. Come in at 6:30 for lunch. It's at Cunningham's Journal here. And this week, Don Reese headlines two shows. They also have the late show. I'm going to play you a comedy clip. It's either from a movie or a television show or a stand-up routine. All you have to do is email the Dent Popper inbox or go to our Facebook page, or you can contact the Cunningham's Comedy Line by giving us a call at 308-646-0506. And here is, now I'm going to be honest, I think this is the first Cunningham's comedy clip that I don't know. I'm going to have to listen to it twice here, but here is this week's Cunningham's comedy clip.
I had no idea you could milk a cat.
Oh yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Okay, could we change subject, perhaps?
Okay. I only listened to the first half of it. Okay. Yeah, I recognize the voice in the second half. What movie or what actor or actress is in that movie or television show, whichever one it's from, and you can either email the Dent Popper inbox, get on our Facebook page, or call the Cunningham's Comedy Line, 308-646-0506. Give us your name, your phone number, so we can contact you if you're the winner, and, of course, most importantly, the correct answer. And we're going to wrap things up here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Cunningham's after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
The story behind the Goodwill store.
My story is about my daughter, Laura, who lives with a developmental disability. I've seen her learn, grow, and blossom with the help of Goodwill. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals, and realizing dreams. What we all strive for. What Goodwill helps people do every day. Donate, shop, be part of the story.
Doing it right makes such a difference. Goodwill.
Life is definitely good for Laura.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on 1st, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating has several certified plumbers on staff that can take your call quickly. Projects like new construction, renovations, remodeling, higher efficiency equipment upgrades, backflow prevention, retrofits, and everything in between. Day or night, they will gladly accept your emergency call. For over 60 years, Anderson Brothers is the place to call for plumbing.
Call 308-236-6437 or 995-4481 today.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
The 2015 NCAA tournament is on. Westwood 1.
Sanford penetrates. Bank shot. Good. Oh. 3.8 to go. Dayton leads by one. Here comes Kraft down the right side. Kraft in the lane. Throws it up off backboard. No good. And Dayton wins it. They have won the Battle of Ohio.
Who will this year's Cinderella be? Tune in here to find out.
Catch all the action on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Gather around ye lads and lasses.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation here at Cunningham's. Don't forget to fill out online your Doug and Daddy Show Bud Light Bracket Challenge, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. 49-inch LG LED TV from Russell's Appliance and Electronics is our grand prize. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com to fill out your bracket today. Damon, you've kind of given us a little bit of a hint here. Take me through your Elite Eight and break it on down from there.
Unofficially, for tournament entertainment purposes only. Show. For entertainment purposes only, as fun. I got Kentucky and Notre Dame in the Cleveland in the Midwest. North Carolina and Zona out west in Los Angeles. Duke, Iowa State in the South. And Nova versus Michigan State in the East. And advancing on to there, my final four in the East, I have Michigan State. In the South, I have Duke. In the West, I have Arizona. And in the Midwest, shocking the world, Notre Dame, good, defeats evil in Kentucky.
And then final?
And then in the final four, I got Notre Dame beating Zona. I got Duke beating Michigan State. And in a rematch of the ACC Championship, Notre Dame defeats the Dukies again to win the National Basketball Championship.
Oh, man. Jimmy and I will make our official predictions Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If Michigan State makes the Final Four, Tom Izzo is the best basketball coach in the country. All right? That's all I've got to say. Hastings women, man. Oh, man, oh, man. I listened to a good portion of the game last night. One run, and again, that's sports, but they lose by three. They are up one the first half, back and forth. I don't think either team led by more than four. It's 29-28. Hastings leads the number one team in the country at halftime. And then a 25-4 run from the Morningside Mustangs put them up 16 before Hastings clawed and clawed and clawed and hit a deep three-pointer to cut it to one with 4 seconds to go. But it just didn't work out. They couldn't control the long inbounds pass after the initial foul where they would have had a chance to win the game and fell 66-63 to the team that's been number one all year long. So Morningside and Concordia will play for the fourth time this year. Morningside won the first two. Concordia won the conference championship. It's Morningside's only loss of the year. It's as good of a final without Hastings as it could possibly be. Jamie Van Kirk in 2 years, 1,241 points, finishing with 27 last night. Congratulations to Coach Hofstetter and her crew. Husker football team practiced yesterday. It had to feel like August and not March. 90 degrees, 2 hours, full pads. All of them went at the same time. They'll go again tomorrow. Nebraska baseball, 4:05 this afternoon, hosting Indiana State. Be a little windy, but still nice baseball. Then tomorrow, 1:35, same teams on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. Hastings baseball, they have won three in a row down there in Arizona. You don't get those spring trips anymore like that, man.
No, we're right in the thick of conference season, so we don't get to go on any of those.
Little Loper softball, they're at home today to take on Wayne State. Doubleheader begins at 2 o'clock. Tri-City Storm, two players of the week. Chris Wilkie, the USHL forward of the week, 7 points, 2 goals, 5 assists in the team's 3 games. Torrey Dello, defenseman of the week, scoring his first 2 goals of the season, including the game winner against Omaha. They are in first place in the Western Division for the first time in over a decade and will host Des Moines this weekend. And congratulations to the Rowdies at Kearney High. The Nebraska School Activities Association, teaming up with Pump and Pantry, have been giving out a monthly School Spirit Award. Hastings High won one of those before Christmas. And if you saw any of the pictures, what Kearney did, I believe it was the Columbus Wrestling Duel. Everybody was wearing singlets and paint, and it was as weird and rowdy as you could be, but it's all about school spirit, and Kearney High takes that home. So congratulations there. One of the top volleyball high school coaches in the state is retiring. Lincoln Pius X, Jake Moore, 705 wins in 25 years, steps down at Lincoln Pius X. And Damon, can't let you go without a little recap of the weekend. I know the one Sunday when you're up two, it doesn't matter. You want to win them all. Got clipped 7-5, so instead of getting a 3-1 weekend win, it's a 2-2 even series, but it was on the road, and now you're home this weekend. A little recap, a little preview.
Oh, man, Friday night's game was probably one of the worst games I've ever been a part of. Things couldn't go very well for us, and so we got off to a really rough start on the weekend. We just couldn't get things going Friday night and kind of let it spiral out of control a little bit, and that's what happens. It kind of just set us off on the wrong foot, and so we go out on Saturday and win two games and feeling pretty good, and then Sunday just didn't respond and didn't get the big hit when we needed to or make the big pitch. So, yeah, I mean, it was a 2-2 weekend where we felt like, you know, we should have done better, could have done better. You know, I felt like we were the stronger team, but probably in hindsight we'll look back and realize we survived a weekend going 2-2 with as poorly as we played for stretches throughout the weekend. To probably get out of 2-2 and not do any major damage to yourself was probably a benefit at the end of the day. You never want to, you know, say you're satisfied with a sweep, but for as bad as we played at times, and you know what, that's the nature of the MIAA. When you go on the road, they're tough. I mean, no matter what the other team's record is, to go on the road is always a tough thing to do, and it's 4 days on the road, you know, and you're gone and you're sleeping, and so you know what, I'm proud of the guys because they've been a resilient crew. You know, we got to get more consistent if we're going to get to where we want to be and be the type of team that I know that we can be. But we're just very, very inconsistent at times. And in big boy college baseball, as I always tell the guys, when you're inconsistent, you know, it's tough to be consistent. You know, it's tough to win consistently when you're as inconsistent as we have been. So, you know, we got a nice home weekend this weekend. We got Pitt State coming up for the first time. Supposed to be beautiful weather again, and so the boys will be on spring break, so starting Friday, and so hopefully it's some time to recharge the batteries and get some rest and do some things, and so you know, come on out and support us this weekend. It's going to be a good weekend of baseball. Pitt State's a good baseball team, and Coach Murray does a great job down there with them, we're excited. I'm ready to get back to practice.
St. Patrick's Day, folks. Enjoy it here at Cunningham's. That's going to wrap things up. Don't forget, live Irish music, drink specials, special Irish menu. You can also order off the regular menu if you love the great food daily here. 11 different Irish items on the menu, including the bangers and mash, including the Reubens, the Irish nachos, Reuben pizza. You can even get that here today. And they'll be here, of course, 7 days a week when we get ready for the NCAA tournament. Randy Bushcutter and I will be back here tomorrow among our guests, Brenda Van Langen from the Big Ten Network and ESPN. We'll talk a little women's hoops, more on the NCAA tournament. Got some special guests, our Loper Link as well. We want to thank from the Oregonian today, Tyson Alger, talking Oregon basketball and a little football and baseball. Matt Coatney, the voice of the Nebraska women, and Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World Herald. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. For Damon Day, I'm Doug Duda. Thanks for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
ESPN Superstation Sports Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, a Sports Center update on ESPN. The Nebraska women's basketball team will play Syracuse on Friday in the first round of the NCAA basketball tournament in Columbia, South Carolina. The Huskers are 21-10 on the season. The Orange are 21-9. Nebraska head coach Connie Yori.
You know, 8-9 seed, which I think is, you know, about where we thought we would be, somewhere in that range. And, you know, we knew that there was a chance to be an 8-9 seed, which is means that if you do happen to win, you're playing a number one seed. But I'm just glad we're there. I'm glad we're in the bracket. And four consecutive years we've been in the NCAA tournament. You know, that's a record-setting performance by men's and women's basketball in Nebraska. And I think it says a lot about our seniors. You know, we lose an All-American point guard, and we just our kids kept playing. And you know, we salvaged what could have been a train wreck.
Tip-off for the game will be at 6:30. The winner will face either South Carolina or Savannah State coming up on Sunday. Season is over for the Hastings College women's basketball team as the Broncos lost to Morningside last night 66-63 in the semifinals of the NAIA Division II women's basketball tournament in Sioux City. Jamie Van Kirk led the way last night with 27 points. Ollie Samuelson added.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
At 10 for the Broncos, Hastings ends the season at 25-9. The Mustangs will play Concordia for the championship.